They're good boys. See it clear. See wrong and right. See what a woman can do. They seen it with you, Martha. Seen how you fooled me. They seen how you got dirty, you stinking slut corpse, Martha.
Christy tugged at Ryan's sleeve, gesturing that they go back to the bunkhouses and leave Ballinger to his raging hatred. He nodded.
Christina knows. Knows what my fist, my boots, and my whip teach her. That women are an abomination, a vessel for a man's needs. They have to work hard and do what they're told. Christina knows that. It's all she knows. Christina's world, Martha. What you fucking left behind, you whore.
Once they were out of range, Christy turned to face Ryan.
I'd like it if you held me just a minute or two, lover. Feel in need of a bath after listening to that.
As he put his arms around her, Ryan could feel Christy trembling. Because of Christina's warning, Mildred and Christy took care, dragging a ramshackle old table against the door and wedging it under the handle. The bolts that the girl had mentioned were held together by a thin film of old rust and wouldn't have stopped an angry kitten. Windows were on three sides of the single-story building, wooden-framed, each with four panes of glass. At one time there'd been shutters, but they'd been long gone. Christy tried to open one of the unpainted casements, wincing in anticipation of the shrieking of warped wood. But to her amazement, it slid up as soft and easy as silk.
Gaia!
Mildred came over and looked, holding the smoky oil lamp higher to see better.
Someone's greased the sash runners. Now why'd they want to do something like that, Christy?
Like the girl said, best take care.
Christy had some thin cord in one of her pockets, and she unwound it, tying one end to a window latch, taking a turn around the top of one bed, then looping it across the room to the second window, putting another turn around the catch, and down to the other bed, making sure she kept it taut. She finished by knotting the other end around the last window.
There. If anyone tries to open a window, he'll make one of the beds move. Best I can do. Just sleep with your blaster real handy.
Ryan and JB discussed whether they should keep a watch during the night. Despite her muteness, there was something about Christina Ballinger that made them agree her warning could be serious. JB checked his small wrist chron.
It's close to 11 now.
2 hours on. Can't see the main house from here, but I figure we should keep watch.
Better to be on guard when you don't have to be.
And not be on guard when you should have done.
Ryan grinned. They'd ridden long enough with the trader to know his favorite sayings. JB took first watch, then Doc came second, followed by Jack. Ryan claimed the leader's right of taking the last, the dawn guard. It happened about 15 minutes after Doc had taken over, but for some time, he didn't know anything was wrong. Christy had been dreaming. Most times she could remember many of her dreams, a skill taught to her by Mother Sonia, but not tonight. They were blurred images, moments from never. A large apple sliced through the middle, fresh and tender. Yet when Christy brought it to her lips, it was as cold as stone. A bird, bright-colored, hovering in the warm air, while its long beak sipped with a fragile delicacy at the heart of a waxen lily. None of the dreams seemed fearful or threatening to her, but something started her awake, eyes wide, the curls of her fiery hair coiled tightly to her head. The early moonlight had gone, tugged away behind a bank of heavy cloud. The bunkhouse was in deep shadow, and it was like being inside a black velvet sack. Christy lay still for a few moments, keeping her breathing regular and steady, straining her senses to try to remember what had awakened her. Her hand moved slowly to touch the taut cord that linked the windows and the two beds. It was still there, but it was slack. She pulled and felt it come loosely toward her fingers. Her mind raced. Someone had reached in through a narrow gap and cut the thin cord with a sharp blade. That meant that the greased windows could now be inched silently open. Or worse, they already had been opened. Mildred was also awake. During the night she'd suffered the pangs of a migraine, the pain focusing around her left eye, a blinding, bitter pain that made her want to reach up and pluck out the eye itself. One of the things that she regretted about Deathlands was that there was a distinct shortage of aspirin. Gradually, the white agony had dulled to a crimson ache, and she'd come close to slipping back into sleep. But something had jerked her into wakefulness. The whisper of wood against wood, the fractional movement of cloth on cloth, someone struggling hard to control his breath. Mildred inhaled slowly, catching the mixture of stale sweat and raw alcohol. Then she knew what had awakened her. Christy had reached precisely the same conclusion at almost the same moment, almost tasting the smell of perspiration and liquor.
Come courting, boys?
Oh, fucking shit.
Why don't you just get out the same way you came in, boys? And don't come back again.
Amen to that.
Don't much want you, nigger.
I don't give a sweet damn what you redneck peckerwood dipshits want. Except that you probably don't want what's coming if you don't get the hell out of here.
Or else what?
When Christy first realized that the brothers had come sneaking into the bunkhouse, she'd only felt a vague unease. Now the threat was explicit and dangerous. This wasn't going to be a clumsy attempt at touch and run. This was for real.
You make a move, boys, and you'll have four blasters in here quicker and goose shit off a greasy shovel.
And your pa'll likely give you a whipping.
That's where you're wrong, Negra. Pa's got his sawed off, and he's sitting out there 10 feet from the door of the other bunkhouse.
That's right, Larry. That door come open, Pa starts blasting, knocking cans off the fence posts.
Pa likes to wait till we had some funnin', then he comes in after and gets himself some sloppy seconds.
That the way it always is, Jim?
Christy felt the prickle of fear.
Sure is. Ever since Ma got caught, we done had good times with harlots come calling up here.
Must be about 1 million by now, Jim.
No, more like 50-100 million. Yeah.
And we get to be 50-100 million in one and 50-100 million in two.
Christy now felt the reassuring coolness of her Heckler & Koch P7A-13.
Sure do.
Then what? Go on, boys. Surprise us.
Then you get the mallet across the temple, and we butcher you, and leave out the remains for the crows and the coyotes.
Christy had them placed. One was near the door, and the other close to the foot of Mildred's bed. But the darkness was so total that even her mutie vision couldn't make out what kind of weapons they were carrying. They hadn't seen any handguns around the main cabin, so knives seemed the most likely bet. It wasn't going to be easy.
What?
Ryan came awake, hand already reaching for the blaster by his head. The bunkhouse was pitch dark. The lamp had guttered and gone out before midnight, and there wasn't the slightest glimmer of light. He couldn't work out what it was that had roused him. He swung his legs out of the narrow bed and stood, heels rasping on the boards. The fragile sound was enough to wake both JB and Jack.
What's up,
Doc?
Doc? You fucking sleep, Doc?
There was a certain irony to a situation that had the sentry asleep and everyone else awake, but right at that moment, Ryan wasn't particularly into irony.
Jesus. Wake him, JB. Quiet.
None of them knew why they were awake, but all of them were experienced enough in lethal fights to know that you kept quiet until it came time to make a noise.
Sorry, my friends. I am so sorry. I must have nodded off for a moment. What is amiss?
Keep it real quiet, Doc. We don't know. Something woke me.
Ryan didn't reproach the old man. Doc was normally reliable and knew as well as the others that he'd put them in potential danger. Ryan eased his way to the window at the front and squinted out.
Hard or easy, sluts?
The Ballinger boys had played this particular game so often that they'd gotten good at it. But they'd also gotten lazy about it.
Will you let us go if we don't struggle or fight? We could be real nice to you both. Me and Mildred know some special tricks.
Yes, sir. I can show you boys a good time, just so you don't hurt us.
We won't hurt you harlots none, and we'll let you ride free tomorrow. How about that?
Sure, why not?
Mildred, keep still.
What?
Do like I say.
When you sluts finish chattering, we best get our show on the road.
Christy wasn't in the same league as Jack or Ryan when it came to hand-to-hand fighting, but she was good enough. Hearing the sound of boots scraping on the planks, she slipped soundlessly off the side of the bed onto the floor, closing her eyes for a moment to draw in the power of the Earth Mother.
Gaia, aid me.
R.G. Ballinger sat patiently in the dirt, the shotgun cradled between his legs. His eyes were fixed on the door of the main bunkhouse, but his hearing was concentrated on the smaller building behind him, listening for the sounds that would tell him his boys were getting themselves some funning.
Be having some more whores to share hell with you, Martha.
His lips pulled back off his rotting teeth, and a